Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
We are back and we are live. It is UFC 290. Fight IQ presented by RotoWire. Alexander Volkanovski taking on Yair Rodriguez for the UFC featherweight title. Co-main event for the UFC flyweight title. Brandon Moreno versus Alexandre Pantoja. I am your host, Sniper MMA. We are missing Joe, also known as Sun Tzu. MIA this week, a last minute scratch to the card. But with me, as always, is Chris Olsen. You can find him on Twitter at the Christopian1. For some weird reason.
No.
You mixed them. Yes.
You mixed them together.
Whatever. It's probably in the description somewhere. You guys can follow him on Twitter if he makes it easy. But you ready for UFC 290, bud?
I'm ready. You know, it's been a while since we've seen a more top-heavy card, but I guess I'm just, at this point, I'm just, you know, thankful that there is some heaviness on the top of the card. And there is, you know, I like both of these title fights very much. I like the Robert Whittaker fight, if only to see Dricus du Plessis get destroyed, which is what I do think is going to happen. Everything else, pretty much everything else I could take or leave. Dan Hooker, Jalen Turner is okay. Jalen Turner did miss weight. I think that he's still going to handle Dan Hooker without much problem. We should say that we lost to Della Maddalena card, who was, you know, facing a big underdog at this point anyway as a late replacement. Some really actually kind of shocking and messy stuff where he, you know, had a blockage in his brain potentially that he's going to get fixed. Not that Della Maddalena, Della Maddalena's late replacement opponent. So that is good news for him. But as I say, this card, you know, not much here. I will say at the outset, I am picking one large underdog on this card. I will not say which one yet.
If it's not Denise Gomes, I'm just going to click the off button because there should be no other big dog you should be considering.
It is not Denise Gomes. So. Oh, God.
Is it Terrence Mitchell? Because I'll just end the call now.
We're looking forward to this card, and let's get started, Sean.
Oh, God, when we get there, I've been saying all week on other podcasts I do, I'm looking for, the only thing I'll say in your defense, and we're jumping ahead to it a little bit, but I've been looking for a spot to fade Cameron Simon. I'm also not a believer. Not here, man. We'll talk about it, though. Right. But I get the concept. I don't disagree with the concept.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. First fight up, it is Kamuela Kirk, plus 125 on DraftKings, 7,700, plus 125 in the odds, 7,700 on DraftKings. Esteban Ribic, minus 145, DraftKings, 8,500. This is one of the dogs I am taking on this card. It's also one of the few mid-range fights on this card. It's also worth pointing out, every fight except one is predicted to end inside the distance. And if the Yarigue line flips, it's like minus 105. Like, it's basically a pick'em. Like, most of every fight is supposed to end inside the distance. This to me is kind of the first two fights are both striker versus grappler, and it comes down to can fighter A stop the takedown. Kirk needs to grapple. Ribovich wants us on the feet. I don't think Ribovich will be able to stop the takedowns here. It's why I lean towards the dog in Kamala Kirk. I also think Kirk, while he's not won yet in the UFC, I'm not too disappointed with his performances. I think it's a spot where he gets on the board, gets his first win. I think the grappling carries him against Ribovich. So he will be my pick here. And kind of this mid-range tour, I'm going to be making a lot of lineups on DraftKings. Chris, what do you got?
So first fight, first disagreement. I'm not.
I took the dog. I took the dog.
I know. It's the bizarro world, man. But I can't trust Kamala Kirk. First of all, he fights way too slow for me, and that's the main thing. Second thing here is I think Ribovic is going to fare pretty well on the ground against him. You know, maybe not for jiu-jitsu. You know, at his skill level. But really good at reversals, really active with that Kimura, really will always be looking to switch the position. I don't think Kimura is going to be able to lock down. I don't think Kamala is going to be able to lock down. I don't think he's going to be able to sub easily. And if he can't, I just think Ribovic is going to outwork him. More explosive, more agile. And as I say, the ground game is even enough to where I can't pick Kamala Kirk. The only way I could see picking Kamala Kirk in a fight is if I thought he had a major ground advantage over somebody. I'm not seeing it here, so I got to take Ribovic.
Let's move on to, you know, the only two of us. This could be a really quick episode.
I know. Well, or we could elaborate, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, actually. I don't beat things into the ground too much. Next fight up, Shannon Ross. He's plus 120, 7,600 on DK. Jesus Aguiar. Minus 145, 8,600 on DK. I know you typically go back and forth, but I'm going to go first again because I'm going to give you a second chance to agree with me. I'm taking the dog. This is another dog I like on this card. And then it's going to be a while before I pick another one, but I do have back-to-back to start the night. And it's Shannon Ross and Jesus Aguiar. This to me, and again, this is a low-level fight, first of all. Like, either one of these guys could go to sleep and score. Like, neither of these guys win or score well, but somebody has to, finally. So who's it going to be? I think Aguiar's going to want to try and grapple. I don't think he's going to be able to get Ross down. And when they go to stand and trade in a phone booth, I think that type of fight favors Ross. But another toss-up type of GPP fight where, again, I prefer the dog, I prefer the grappler, or I prefer the guy who I think is going to be able to stop takedowns, not the grappler in this case. Not a super strong take, but I'm taking a second straight dog. You getting on board with this one, Chris?
Not only am I getting on board, I kind of have the exact same sentiments as you do, where, like, it's not the strongest take in the world, but I feel like Ross is just a little bit sharper of a counterpuncher, a little bit more fluid, a little bit better boxing combinations. So, I mean, I'm going to take him here, all things being equal. Like you said, we have to look for dogs on a slate like this. I think Ross is toolsy. He got knocked out. He got hit with a body shot and a liver shot, and he got knocked out in his last fight. That can happen. I'm not really holding that against him. We'll have to see what comes next. But I'm ready to see him showcase his skills. I think he can do that here. So as you said, and I reiterated, a modest endorsement of Ross here as a dog play, but, you know, not one. I mean, one that I'm more interested in now that we lost a fight, but overall, I'm not too interested in.
Let's move on to next fight. Oops, skipped too far. All right. Oh, it's here already. Here we go. Cameron Simon, minus 550, 9,400 on DraftKings. Take it on Terrence Mitchell, plus 400, 6,800 on DraftKings. And this is definitely a spot I can kick it to you first. What you got?
Yeah. I've never liked the way, and maybe you actually share this view, even though you don't share the pick. I just don't like the way Cameron Simon fights. It's just a brawling style where it's that young, you can't beat me confidence where, like, I'm just going to brawl with everybody and I'm always going to come out on top. And that's worked so far. Problem is now he's facing a guy with a 7-inch reach advantage. And a very active striker, a guy who can grapple some, got some rear naked chokes on his record. I don't think Simon is going to be able to melt him down and walk through him the way he has everybody else. Now, full disclosure, I picked Manny Martinez as well. That did not work out, and I think the reason for that is just that he was able to Wilt Manna. I think that to be clear, Simon has had some sort of reach's advantage, I think, in every fight. He's not the most lengthy fighter, but this is by far his biggest reach disadvantage. I think it's going to hurt him as an athletic fighter who I said can grapple, can put combinations together, and has some power. If some of these lines were lined a little bit more properly and they weren't all so big, would I be that heavy on Mitchell? Maybe not. But things being as they are and looking for dogs as they are, a guy I think not many are going to be on in the first place, I'm going to give a shot on Mitchell here. I think there's enough going on here to give it a look.
Look, I kind of agree, except Terrence Mitchell is an Alaskan can crusher. That's what he does. He crushes cans on the Alaska regional scene. This is not the guy. That brawling style, I think, is going to work just fine. I'm with you. I'm with you. The only reason I'm going to play more Cameron Simon is because Jack Della Maddalena is out. So
yeah.
I'm fine with it. Terrence Mitchell, no thank you. I'll take a shot down the line somewhere else.
Well, anytime somebody brings up Alaska FC, I have to reflexively say Jared Cannonier. So that's my one.
It took a little while for Kenny to get there once he got out of Alaska FC.
Yeah.
Remember, he was a heavyweight there. All right. Let's move on to the next fight. Probably my favorite fight to target for DraftKings, Vitor Petrino, -300, 9,000 on DraftKings, Marcin Prachnio, +250, 7,200 on DraftKings. This is the line I've been using all week, and I can't wait to drop it again. Because I love Vitor Petrino. I have a guy who's got crazy knockout power and showed he can grapple versus a guy who can't grapple or maintain consciousness. Like that's as long as Vitor Petrino throws more than 8 strikes than that Willie Knight threw at Prachnio.
Yeah. Like,
he's got a suspect chin. Petrino's got crazy power. He can grapple pretty well. Give me Petrino. Love the pick. Love the play. And he's 800 cheaper than Bo Nickel at 9.8K. So give me some Petrino. Who you got?
Yeah, I have to agree. And it's almost, you know, I get why he's not as cheap. I mean, I was thinking in my review for this, I wrote that, you know, I was expecting, and I think a lot of people were, Petrino to gas UFC debut against Chakal, who was just intent on grinding him down and grappling him. And
the pleasure man.
The pleasure man. Oh, my God. Terrible the worst man. Nickname in the history of nicknames, for sure. But I was sure he was going to gas out. A couple of times it looked like, okay, he was done. That's it. He happened to, you know, get a second wind every time. This big muscle-bound guy who throws from the hip somehow didn't get tired over that 15 minutes. And Martin Prachnio is not going to push a higher pace than the pleasure man did. So I think that if he can survive that, he's going to survive against Prachnio. Now, he's obviously a striker. He's obviously a knockout artist. I think it was 5 or 6 takedowns in that fight. Moved to positions pretty well. Ended the fight in mount, or it was close to the end of the fight in mount. And if he's getting any trouble from Prachnio whatsoever, he can just take him down. I have no confidence in Martin Prachnio doing anything on the ground. And we know that Petrino's tough. Petrino had a lot of big shots in that fight. He got wobbled by that up kick right to the chin. He took some shots at range. I really think he's for light heavyweight, let's be clear what I'm talking about. But I think he's a decent-ish prospect at this weight class, just for what he tries to do. And especially in this fight, I mean, Prachnio has had such a weird UFC career. You mentioned the fight with William Knight.
The Roundtree fight was weird.
Yeah, it's just all been – he feels like a guy who shouldn't be here, who is somehow on his 6th or 7th UFC fight. But for all those reasons, I'm going to have quite a bit of Petrino, and it sounds like you agree. That's going to be one of my main picks there at that price point.
Oh, God, that makes me uncomfortable. We are agreeing too much. You know, I had a hotter take on the next fight before the Della Maddalena dropout. It's Edgar Chires. I'm sorry, I can't. +725. 6,600 on DraftKings versus Tatsuro Taira at minus 1,100, 9,600 on DraftKings. Honestly, Tyra is one of – I favored him over Della Maddalena to score big because, you know, I love me some grapplers.
Yeah.
And I thought Harrell was a little bit better. I just – you know, so not so much of a hot take now. I like Tyra. He's a real deal prospect. And the problem for Tyra is that what he wants to do is grapple, and he just doesn't do it nearly as well. So Tyra's all day here in one of these – smash spots minus 1,100. I don't want to spend too much time here. Anything to add or that I missed in terms of how we're playing it?
Well, no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm taking Tyra too. As you said, he's better everywhere. He's a heavy striker, and I feel like the most likely way this ends is he runs into a counter shot and then gets subbed. I don't think he's gonna have much for Tyra here. I think Tyra's better everywhere. The one thing I would say is that he likes to strike more than he likes to wrestle. So, like, if he can't club and sub him, the score might get hurt a little bit. But I think he's going to take care of him in round one is my official play. So I'm pretty big on Tyra here, and that's the pick.
All right, let's move on to probably the most important fight DraftKings-wise on the card. Jimmy Crute, 8,200, minus 120 of the odds. Alonzo Menifield, plus 100, 8,000 on DraftKings. And this is the second time they fought. They were a draw last time out because Alonzo Menifield grabbed the cage and rightfully had a point taken away. Somebody who likes grappling, it changes everything, especially in a striker versus grappler match. Fuck the warning. You do that, you get a point taken away. Although Geek on our Divas Army podcast had a good point in that, you know, a suggestion. I hadn't heard this before, and I'm sure someone has suggested it, but I hadn't really maybe processed it. Instead of, you don't like the point being taken away, fine. Time, stop the action, go to the ground, put him in guard.
Put him on the ground. Yep.
Put him on the ground. Like, yep. Okay, they stop the takedown. Well, now we're going to start from there because you're foul. This is where you would have been.
Yeah.
I can deal with that. You have to do one of the two, though. You can't just let it go. Nothing drives me crazier than, don't grab the cage. Don't grab the cage. Don't grab it
for
10 minutes and nothing. Like, no. This is mixed martial arts. If you don't like it, go watch fucking boxing and stop talking to me.
I love the smacking the hands away, and then they put the hand back, and they smack the hand away, put the hand back. It's great.
This fight, by the way, so before I kick it to you, so it seems it's also important on DraftKings. You'll do the breakdown first, but it's important on DraftKings because it's really high inside the distance prop. Even in terms of this card, it's way up there. And this is the middling fight, 8,200, 8,000. Like, there's some wild salaries around, and these guys are right in the middle. So, who do you have?
Yeah, and I agree. If you're doing 100 lineups, this fight has to be in 100 lineups. Like, this is just, that's just how it is.
I was going to say 85, but I like it.
Well, I no, because you know what? I think that this fight is going to, one of these guys is going to be, I don't know if this could be is a hot take or not, but one of these guys is going to be on, absent another draw, one of these guys is going to be on.
That's the problem.
Yeah. But, you know, it's hard to know what to do here because Jimmy Crute has looked so hurtable lately. Not only in this fight, but the Jamahal Hill fight, of course. The fight before that, which I can't recall what it was now, but I know he got hurt in that fight too. He got knocked down by Menifield twice. The reason why I'm still taking him is because he actually has a skill set, which is wrestling and grappling. Alonzo Menifield's skill set is swing really hard and hope to connect, which could work on Jimmy Crute and has before. I was actually shocked that Menifield didn't really seem to gas that hard in that fight, at least not that what you would expect. I thought he actually gassed a lot harder in the Devin Clark fight, so maybe he's made some improvements there. And it's very possible that he just knocks Jimmy Crute out because Crute, if he can't hold you down, it seems like he can't win anymore. But what was it? How many takedowns in that last fight? Six, and nine minutes of control time. So if he gets a win in that fight, that's 97 points. That would have been at 8,600. This is at 82. That might be enough for the optimal right there. I think it has a chance to go higher even than that. I just have to go with the consistent skill set here. That's the wrestling. I'm taking Jimmy Coop.
Yeah, kind of similar. It's hard because he doesn't hold people down. But really, this fight really comes down to why it's so high variance is that if Jimmy Crew if he grapples right away, I think he'll have success and can wear Menafield down again. Even if he can't hold him down, I think, you know, if he stays close, he'll get the better positions, could win a high scoring decision or find a sub. Every second this fight is on the feet, he is in mortal danger.
Yeah.
Like it's a problem every second. So, and if he just tries to feel it out before it gets striking, it's just going to be trouble. So I pick Crew, but high variance fight, but Crute will be my official pick for this one. All right, next up, we got Yasmin Yarigue, minus 410, 9,300 on DraftKings. Denise Gomes, plus 310, 6,900 on DraftKings. Look, I'm taking Yarigue, but this is the fight I have little interest in GPPs. I don't think either one's going to score particularly high. I think Yarigue is just a little bit better everywhere. What's interesting, though, is that Gomes, in terms of the super scrubs, I mean, unless you're taking Terrence Mitchell, but even if you're taking Mitchell, you have to as a high variance fight where there's not much of a floor. This has got the best odds to go to decision on the card. And it's got, you know, it's got this stereotypical women's MMA take the underdog. Gomes isn't, I don't think she's massively outclassed here. Minus 410 feels a little wide. I just think Yarigue is a little bit better everywhere. I don't mind Gomes for cash games at all. I'm perfectly fine punting down there and getting an extra one of these big favorites because the punt scene is rough between Val Woodburn and Chirez and, in my opinion, Terrence Smith. Like, it's ugly down there.
Yeah.
So I don't mind Gomes, but straight, skill for skill, Yarigue looks just a little bit better everywhere. What do you have for this one?
Yeah, no, I kind of agree across the board with this one, too. I mean, I just think even if you look at Denise Gomes in that fight with Bruna Brazil, she got held against the fence for large portions of that fight. And I think, can I just say Yasmin? What is Yasmin?
Yasmin.
That's fun. I just think Yasmin is stronger. I think she'll even be a little bit better of a wrestler. And I think she's got probably the more power in her hands. I mean, I don't think it really counts if your opponent just doesn't put their hands up and then Denise Gomes is able to deliver the shots she did. I kind of agree. I think this fight will feature more of that kind of wall install at points. So I don't think Yasmin gets over that mark for 9,300. I certainly don't think, you know, she's a GPP option. She might be a cash option just because, like you say, she is better everywhere. I don't love this fight either. I'm going to be looking in other places. As far as cash goes, though, I think Gomes might be more solid of a cash play than a guy like Terrence Mitchell just because of the wrestling floor. And because the Mitchell fight, I think, is just going to be a barn burner. Somebody's going to fall and score a lot of points. So probably not the best cash play, even if I endorse the pick itself. I think Gomes is not a bad cash play because of the grappling upside. And like you say, I don't think the skill gap is nearly that wide. So I'm taking Yasmin here. Not my favorite fight on the card because I don't think the dog is going to win. But if you want to punt cash, I endorse that decision with Gomes.
Moving on, we got to take a look at – no, we don't have to take a look. We're moving right along on this card. Robbie Lawler. It's the featured prelim we're up to already, guys. We're going to be done with this episode in like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Suck it, Joe. Sorry. Robbie Lawler, plus 220, 7,300 on DraftKings. Nico Price, minus 260, 8,900 on DraftKings. Look, Robbie Lawler retiring. High variance fight. But, Chris, we'll start with you for this one. I'll give you the honor of breaking down the legend Robbie Lawler's last UFC fight.
All right, so the first thing that popped into my head was I have to pick Nico Price because Brian Barberina was able to wear him down just by being tough. And Nico Price is the same guy with that consistent offense. But then I remembered that Nico Price is way more hurtable than somebody like Brian Barberina is. Four of his six losses have come via KO-TKO. And Robbie was landing some very hard shots in that Brian Barberina fight. Almost put him down. Barberina outlasted him. Good for him. I think this is going to be another one of those fights where somebody's going to melt And I think that Robbie's going to do the melting here. I just think that Nico's going to eat too many hard shots, and Robbie's going to have to eat them too. But with Robbie Lawler, it almost always has to be this accumulation, aside from Tyron Woodley. Has to be that accumulation, and I just don't think that Nico can do it before Robbie gets to him, especially for the savings there. I think this fight is a lot closer to even than the line would suggest. I don't know what Nico Price has done to be like a bigger favorite. But I have to go Lawler here for the savings and for the fact that Lawler didn't look dead against Barbarina. Barbarina is a tough guy who outlasted him. Barbarina almost beat Vicente Luque. So, I don't know. That doesn't really prove anything to me. I think Lawler's got enough in the tank for this one. I'm going to pick him here.
Yeah, really, I mean, what it comes down to is very similar guy. Price is going to give Lawler the brawl that he wants. And the reason what the pick comes down to is that somehow Nico Price is against the guy who's got more wear on the tires than he does, because Nico Price has taken a lot of damage in his UFC career. So was Robbie Lawler. That's what it comes down to, is the durability in a firefight. Should be a firefight. Which guy is more durable? And if anybody's going to mix it up, it'll be Nico Price. I think he could grapple, and that could surprise people. I don't think he will, but it wouldn't stun me like I think it would some others. I think likely he gives Lawler the brawl he's looking for. They go to war, and just Robbie is less durable at this point in his career. And yeah. It's rostering retiring fighters is really, really, really scary. Mm-hmm. We've seen it time and time again. But in terms of firefight and just, again, live dog, Robbie's up there. This is a good fight to target both sides of. The pick is Nico Price just for that durability. As we move on, I'm going to pause here before we head to the main card. A word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That was my long break for the podcast, people. If you're watching on YouTube, that was just you saw me kind of dancing for a second. Real quick, though, the other ads, though, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all the premium content, no credit card required. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcast. I'm sure we're there. Rotowire, MMA. Yes, Nan, Nico Price did. There was a ringworm picture of him floating around. Ringworm, not staff. I don't think it's going to be the end of the world there. and nobody show a UFC doctor. I'm going to keep that on the DL. Respond to the guys in chat. All right, first fight of the main card. Man, this is going to be a tight, hotly contested matchup between Bo Nickel, -2500, $9,800 on DraftKings. Take it on Valentine Woodburn, +1200, $6,400 on DK. If you haven't looked up or heard about Valentine Woodburn, I think he's 7-0. Look, he is physically strong, super, super, super raw. And Bo Nickel is a world-class wrestler and probably going to skull-fuck him. It's just a matter of this $9,800 price tag that we got to deal with. And yeah, it's the highest I can remember seeing. I think somebody – I don't remember. I don't think
we ever saw it. I think Cyborg might have been 10K for
sure. Yeah, I vaguely recall that.
Yeah.
Might have been against Yana Kunitskaya, now Yana
Sanchez. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what else to go with this. Bo Nickel should fuck him up. And next,
Chris. So the funny thing about this is, so I do the projections for RotoWire, and I have a grid that tells me a value to put in based on where the favorite is. So -500, put in this number, et cetera, et cetera. I ran out of room. We don't have a -2500. I had to improvise. That's how ridiculous this line is. I don't think we've ever seen a line like this, or I don't remember one. Sean pretty much covered Val Woodburn. He's going to swing very wildly, but like a lot of guys who swing powerfully like this, they tend to swing themselves into clinches. Val Woodburn does that. That's not going to be a good idea.
That's a bad place to be.
Yeah.
How did I get here? That's all I can...
You know what? I could see how I could see this exceeding value. If you know he swings himself into the clinch, gets taken down. He's so strong he can explode up once, twice. Gets taken down again and again, and then sub. We get like 3 or 4 takedowns in there, and then the sub in the first round. That pays it off. I think that can happen. It's hard because, you know, we just mentioned Petrino and some of these other guys down here. 9,800 is a lot of salary. But because of that, he might not be as heavily rostered as he might be otherwise. So this is the ultimate contrarian pay-up. We mentioned that sometimes. This would be it. And I can see it happening. I can see it happening. But there's a lot of different ways it doesn't pay off, too. So cash games, of course. GPPs if you're feeling saucy. But Nickel has to be the pick.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not feeling saucy here. Like, no, no, no sauce for me. All right, moving on. Let's talk about Jalen Turner, missed weight by 2 pounds at 158 pounds. He's -260, $8,800 on DraftKings. Take it on Dan, I'm now blonde and probably in a weird midlife crisis. Hooker, +220, $7,400. This is an appropriate step up for Jalen Turner. He looked insanely good last international fight week against Brad Riddell. Basically trying to take out all of what's the camp's name? Help me out. What's the Australian camp's name?
Eugene Behrman. What's it called?
This is embarrassing.
City kickboxing.
I kept wanting to call it American kickboxing. No, they're in New Zealand. It's clearly not that. Jeez. Dan Hooker's fallen off, and it just kind of is what it is. It's a little bit sad, but he's not the guy he used to be. I know his wins are against really high competition. I think Jalen Turner is legit. This is a step up for him, so I'm not going to fully fade Dan Hooker, but my pick is Jalen Turner. I do think he is a legit top 15 guy, and I think Dan Hooker is clearly on the back end here. Chris, who you got?
Yeah, I actually think I might like Jalen Turner a little more than you. I just think he's better everywhere. I think he's more athletic. I think he's more powerful. He's actually going to have a reach advantage here, which Dan Hooker doesn't always have to deal with. In fact, I don't remember the last time he did deal with it. So that's another hurdle he's got to deal with. I think he's the better grappler. I think, I can go on and on. He's likely the better kicker by virtue of the fact that Dan Hooker doesn't kick much. I think Turner is better everywhere. And I agree, Mr. Invisible Man. Hooker is past it. I, you know, sometimes he'll come out, he'll look really inspired. Other times he'll just look like he wants to give this fight away. I think that he's going to come up against something in Turner that he's not going to expect, and it's going to take him out of this fight pretty early. So I'm looking for a Turner finish here, maybe mid-second round after a lot of volume and action. And for that reason, I'm going to be all over him.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the, I guess, the fight before the two title fights. Robert Whittaker -400, 9,100 on DraftKings. Dricus du Plessis +300, 7,100 on DraftKings. Look, I think I agree with the sentiment I've seen most of the week on pretty much everywhere. That Whittaker is better than du Plessis and can probably do what he wants. He could probably wrestle him, outstrike him for three rounds, and just kind of piece him up. I will say, Dricus's path to victory is a early blitz and a knockout of Whittaker. Super unlikely, but I think in his path to victory, in his wins, he's going to end up on the optimal lineup. So I'm willing to take a few shots. The guy never seems to get tired. Whittaker can be hit. He's taking damage. We've seen it. But anybody who's not Israel Adesanya, Whittaker just he pieces you up. That's kind of what I expect to happen here. Give me Robert Whittaker, but as being slightly better everywhere. I'm also not sold on the ceiling, because if he just plays technical for three rounds, he won't score super high. It's just don't forget about du Plessis in your GPP builds, because if he wins, it's a big old fat number. Chris, who you got?
So if du Plessis wins, I might have to retire from MMA analysis, because it will prove to me that I know nothing about this sport.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is really loud. I just don't understand how du Plessis would win. He's so sloppy, and Whittaker is the opposite of sloppy. He's technical. He's powerful. He can wrestle. Like, yeah, he was hit by Adesanya, but you need something to make him uncomfortable. You need some technique. You need some reach. You need some speed. There's nothing that du Plessis has. I mean, he's got a little bit of – he's got strength. He hits hard. But that alone, I don't think it's going to do it. Whittaker has so many more weapons here. And even in a fight against Darren Till, where he was just taken down a million times, Darren Till even managed to land some hard shots. Derek Brunson self-destructed, as he always does if you just hang around with him, but was destroying him in those first two rounds. Robert Whittaker is just – I'm not going to have him everywhere just because he has a tendency to slow fights down, even though du Plessis doesn't really allow that. And 9,100 is a lot for him, but I just feel like he's going to run headlong into a lot of Robert Whittaker offense. And that's going to be really good for us. I'm taking Robert Whittaker. If he loses, folks, it's been real. I've enjoyed it. But I need to pick Whittaker. Whittaker all the way.
And put his career on the line for this one. Sheesh. All right, let's talk about the co-main event of the evening. The UFC flyweight title. Brandon Moreno, -190. 8,700 on DraftKings. Alexandre Pantoja, +165, 7,500 on DraftKings. Chris, I'll let you go first for the co-main event.
Yeah. Co-main event.
Co-main event, didn't I? I thought I said co-main.
Oh, you might. I was answering a viewer who wanted to know where Joseph was tonight. So
we had the Uribe Gomez fight. We didn't even get a V rating.
So I know.
Is it even a podcast? Even a podcast.
Yeah, I missed it. So I'm sure you can tell. But I'm taking Moreno here. I think a lot of people are probably going to flock to Pantoja. Pantoja beat him twice. Once was an exhibition on The Ultimate Fighter. But, you know, those fights are a long time ago now. Last time was 2018. And I think Moreno is a much better fighter. I think his boxing is so much better than it's been.
I have a question. Okay, I have to know. Yeah. I was going to wait and get a rebuttal. And it's not fair because I want to I've heard this narrative a lot. What you just said is really common, people picking Moreno. And I get it. But hasn't Pantoja also improved? Anytime anyone said Moreno's improved a bunch, I go, so has Pantoja. He's not the same fighter he was 5 years ago either. And I just want to say, if you feel like Moreno's improved a lot more, great. But I just, that whenever someone said that this week, it's bothered me. So I had to stop you and just say, well, what about Pantoja? Has he not also evolved?
Well, but okay, so I can point to a couple of specific things. What specifically do you think Pantoja is like way better at?
I think he's a much better striker than when he came into than when he came into the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, but he was starting from a lower bar, and I think Moreno is still a better striker than he is now.
That's fine. I keep Moreno's so much better. Those wins mean nothing. I'm like, what, does Pantoja just stop? He's the same guy as forever. It's bothered me.
No, I get it. Now, I wouldn't say they mean nothing, but what I would say is, like that Askarov fight where they just scrambled and then Pantoja ran out of gas. I think Moreno's a better scrambler now than he used to be too, and I think that's going to come into play pretty heavily here. I don't think Pantoja's going to be able to have it his own way on the ground. I think Brandon Moreno is now as close to a complete fighter as he's ever been. Like this is probably the best version of Moreno that we've seen, which is at a really high level, and we might be at the best version of Pantoja that we've seen. I don't think the level is quite as high. I think not only the boxing, but I think he even mixes kicks in there a little bit better now. I think the fluidity is going to be a factor here. And, you know, it's a close fight, and I get it because of the savings and because of Pantoja's skill set and how locked down he can be on the ground. Has improved the striking, but as I say, I'm not really worried about that because I think Moreno is still quite a bit better than him, but I do get it. But I also think this could be one of those pay up contrarian things. Again, this is a 5-round fight. There's probably going to be points here either way. And so if everybody zigs to Pantoja, I'm going to zag to the flyweight champion, Brandon Moreno. And he's my pick for the 87.
Yeah. I guess.
That's for Sean. That's a ringing endorsement of me.
I think Pantoja, he's already beat him twice. I don't think Moreno is that much better. And I think Moreno, I think you're a little bit distracted by it. You've seen the gold wrapped around Moreno. He's not looked unbeatable. He lost the first two rounds against Kaikara France. There was a reason him and Davison fought four fucking times. There was a reason that they were close fights. I don't think Moreno's untouchable. I think Pantoja is a good striker. I think he's got better control BJJ. Point taken that if Moreno can scramble, maybe he can tire out Pantoja. I've seen Pantoja finish him twice. I think they're equally just they're both evolved and are at the top of this division. And I think the line's too wide. I think there's value here on Pantoja because we've seen Moreno at the highest levels for longer because he got there first. I think it's a pick'em fight. And I think I'll even give the slight edge to Pantoja personally, but I know it's not how the public works, especially a guy who's been in these main events, held the belt. Pantoja is really, really good. He can mix it up well. He can grapple. I like Pantoja in the spot. And I don't like the salaries at all on DraftKings. Pantoja is a way better play for the salaries.
We agree with the salary part. But
yeah.
The one thing I would say about – do you really count the fight in the tough house, though? Because, like,
absolutely.
They're not really training. It's not a regular schedule thing.
Those guys want to win. Those are real
fights. No, I know they want to win.
Those are real fights with a lot of them. I would argue with a lot on the line. So
I'm just saying it's probably not both guys at their best performance, at, like, optimal performance.
Maybe. Anyway, I'm taking Pantoja for this one. Let's go ahead. Let's move on to the main event. Alexander Volkanovski. He's -400, 9,200 on DK. Yair Rodriguez. Pantera is +300, 7,000 on DraftKings. He's the interim featherweight champion. It's really hard to find reasons to pick Alexander, to not pick Alexander Volkanovski. It's really hard. Looked great against Islam. He looked, you know, look. Max Holloway trashed Yair in the feet. I mean, it was kind of competitive, sort of. But look what Volk has done to him. It's just hard to pick against Volk. He could grapple. He could wrestle on this one. He could keep his range. really the technical striker. Yeah, Yair is quicker and has the kicks, which is a different weapon that Volker's faced, but it's hard not to think Volker's not going to have a way to deal with it. But again, these type of champions always look unbeatable until they're not, unless you are Khabib. So, I mean, maybe the wheels will come off. I just don't think this is the spot. Go ahead, give me Volk over five rounds. I think Yair, got outstruck by Korean Zombie until he landed the Hail Mary knockout. Like, I don't know. I there's no reason for me not to pick Volkanovski. I will say I think I'll be underweight to this fight because there's a lot of fights expected to finish. This one, second lowest on the card to finish, and everyone's going to be on it. Game theory-wise, I don't want to play that shit. If everyone else is going to play it, fuck that. But Volk is the pick. How can you not pick Volk here?
Yeah, Volk is the pick. I don't hate going to Yair, I think, as much as you do. Because when Max Holloway had all that success in the third fight, I forget how many times they fought now, or second fight, it was because he kicked, knocked him down with a kick. And Yair is a much better, more fluid, quicker kicker picker up than Max Holloway is. I do think Volkanovski is going to use his wrestling here, which, based on opponents, we haven't even seen that much just because he's been facing a lot of opponents where either their takedown defense is really good or he couldn't in the case of Ortega because he didn't want to tangle with him on the ground, at least not while he was fresh. But I do think that, especially in those first couple of rounds, Yair is going to be a problem. That's when I think it's going to be the most interesting round. But I kind of think Yair has to catch him there, which is going to be really hard to do. Or at least get so far ahead of him in those first two rounds that he puts pressure on him to take the next three. And then maybe he can win some kind of decision that way. But I got to pick Volkanovski just because I think the wrestling is going to be a factor. Yair Rodriguez got taken down by non-wrestlers. Max Holloway took him down. Jeremy Stephens took him down, who I believe was a wrestler, before MMA, but didn't do much MMA wrestling. So the fact that Volkanovski, let's not forget what Frankie Edgar did to him, all those years ago now. So, Volkanovski is going to go back to his tireless wrestling. I think that's going to be the key here. But I am a little bit more interested in this fight than you, particularly in the early rounds.
All right, that's it for the fight by fight breakdown for UFC 290. It is hot pick time, hot take time. If you are new to the show, drop a comment, something unexpected, hot take for UFC 290. Usually Joe gives out a parlay, no parlay. Today, my hot take is that it's such a top heavy card. Problems that midrange. Okay, I'm gonna do a hot take. There is going to be a loser on the optimal lineup.
Ah, that's fun. I like that. I'm sure that's happened.
No, it's happened. It's been a little while, but it's happened.
All right. Yeah. No, that's fun. I like it. My hot take is going to be a little more straightforward. I am picking Terrence Mitchell to knock out Cameron Simon.
Oh God, it's so painful. Zero
it will be painful for Cameron Simon.
Zero Miedo. Bo Nickel by decision.
Ooh.
Fucking bananas. I hope you got
That would burn up a whole lot of DraftKings lineup.
That's it really definitely good. Would. Definitely would. Bo Nickel by decision. All right, guys, this is what we got for hot takes. Remember to hit the like button, subscribe to the podcast. Joe, I hope you enjoy your vacation. I'm going to see you tomorrow night heading to Jersey to watch the fights with our guy. So, all of you, thank you for joining us. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. I hope you enjoy your fights. I hope you cash your contests, unless you're against me in head-to-head, in which case, fuck off. But otherwise, good luck in your contests. Chris, it was fun. Take it easy, guys. See you next time.
Thanks, everybody.